alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan marhaba. A warm and hearty welcome to the program Friday Fusion with me, Zakira and Sirmia. It is the 4th of November, the 3rd of Safar. Well, what exactly are you doing this Friday afternoon? Alhamdulillah, here in the KZN area, a lovely afternoon. After a few days of rain and cloudy weather, we've got some brilliant sun out. And I'm sure many of the kids are, you know, having been studying the entire week, are taking a little bit of a breather out to get some fresh air. Yes, it is exam time, so most of the children are busy with all those kind of preparations. Lots happening around the world, isn't it? There's the kids that are busy here in South Africa with exams. And then in the, overseas, many of the students letting me know there, that I teach, that they also preparing for a different kind of exam. But subhanAllah, isn't it awesome how it is that here our students are preparing for a final year exam and the students overseas are preparing for a mid-year exam. Well, either way, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants success to all the students all over the world who are striving really hard and who are studying for their exams. Then, obviously, we have the water crisis in Johannesburg that, alhamdulillah, Radio Islam is trying their best to encourage the listeners to do their best to save water, you know, taking out the campaign, let every drop count. And we pray and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grant us beneficial rain, especially in the Joburg area, the Gauteng area, where the rain is much, much needed. The Vaal Dam levels so low and it's really scary, isn't it? That subhanAllah, you know, not so long ago, water was a commodity that we just used without thinking anything about it. And here we are at a point right now where we may end up being rationed with water. Water may be closed from a certain time to a certain time. I know actually in northern parts of Durban, some listeners who may be listening in like Verulam, Limerty, Phoenix, if you're listening from those areas, you probably know what that is like, because from what I understand, 2 years ago when Durban was going through a similar situation, they actually would have water cuts. And the water cuts would last hours on end. In other words, you know, residents would only have water in the mornings and then in the evenings again. So very, very difficult, you know, as Maulana Sulaiman mentioned this morning, that somehow or the other we manage when there is no electricity, because there are alternatives. There's gas for cooking, etc. Even, you know, other alternatives like putting on candles in the night when there's no electricity. But without water, you know, subhanAllah, we are so used of having water. You just turn on the faucet, turn on the tap, and the water runs out. We are so used of that, that when there is no water, we feel as though, you know, we've lost a limb. So we really pray very, very earnestly and ardently to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask Him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us beneficial rain. And like we spoke about a few weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, yes, we spoke about the actions that we can take to beg for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if we constantly remain in istighfar, these are one of the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will yursil as-samaa'a alaykum midrara, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So let's try and constantly remain in istighfar and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness for our sins, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us His promise, and that is He will send down rain upon us in abundance, inshallah. What is it that you can expect in the program today? Well, later on in the program, after our second ad break, we will be joined by Sister Sumaya Mohammed. So, Sister Sumaya Mohammed is from Mother's Intuition. She is a doula. So she will be explaining to us what exactly is the Women's Wellness Day that they are hosting tomorrow at Benefit at the Crescent Towers. Yes, you've been hearing a lot of Crescent Towers, right? It's where we have our Radio Islam studios. So if you are going to pop by at the Benefit Women's Wellness Day tomorrow, then feel free to come and join us at the Radio Islam studios, as we will be there. And if you haven't had a chance to pop by and come and see what our new studios are all about, then inshallah I will be there, and I will be able to give you a little tour, take you around and let you see what it's all about. Getting back to the wellness day, so we will be joined by Sister Sumaya Mohammed, and she will tell us a bit more about this day, the initiative, the reasoning behind it, who exactly can come to this day, and what is the whole process and procedure. Then right now, we are going to be discussing a few ayat of Surah Al-Hujurat. During the week, I had a very, very sad call, you know. It was a call that really stirred something within me. It was a sister who came, and she actually needed to, she just needed someone to speak to, I think. And so she called me and she said, you know, Mualima, I feel so sad because it's been a few months now that my sister and I aren't speaking. And I heard your program last week and you were speaking about family functions and family gatherings, etc. And you know, often when it comes to end of the year, we plan these things, but I don't think that this year around there's going to be anything like that, because it's been a few months now that my sister and I, you know, we've just broken ties. She refuses to speak to me, she doesn't come over anymore, yet we live in the same yard. What can I do? And I said, sister, what actually came to this? How did all of this come to this point? And she said, you know, it happened because someone told us something that somebody else heard me say about her, which is actually an untruth. And I didn't say anything like this. So what I actually want to speak to you about today is hearsay. And, you know, often in the beginning of the program, we do some motivation, we do some inspiration. And I'd like to just take some motivation and inspiration today from the Quran, from Surah Al-Hujurat in particular, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very, very categorically speaks to us about this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْدُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. Don't spy on each other. Don't be suspicious of one another. And don't, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْدُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Don't carry tales between one another, one person about the other. Why shouldn't you do this? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the question, أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. Would you like it if you were to eat the dead flesh of your brother? Definitely you wouldn't like it. You would hate it, in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So, you know, we see the impact of carrying tales when something like this happens. Otherwise, we don't really find the gravity of the situation of carrying tales, of, you know, speaking about one another. We think nothing of it because we think, oh, at the end of the day, you know what? She probably did say it, so I'm just going to say it because I heard somebody saying that she said it, so I'll just pass it on. Perhaps this person doesn't know what she said about her or about him, so let me pass the message on. But subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala categorically tells us here that this is a sin, this is wrong, this is something that we should keep far, far away from. Now I ask you a question. How often doesn't it happen that, you know, we have these family groups or we have these chats, and nowadays with WhatsApp and all the rest of it, it's so easy. Well, not WhatsApp in particular, but any other form of social media for that matter. It's so easy to pass messages along that sometimes we don't realize, you know, we haven't verified it. We haven't authenticated it. We haven't asked anyone if it is true, if it is not. We haven't got to the bottom of it. But we feel the need to pass it on because we want to be the first person to get this news across to the next person. What we don't realize, though, is that by doing these type of things, we are actually putting ourselves at risk. We are actually building for ourselves a place in the fire of Jahannam. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the night of Mi'raj, when he was ascending with Jibreel alayhi salam, taking him around, at one point when he was shown Jahannam and he was shown different tortures and different punishments, he saw some people, their mouths were being cut with big scissors. And when he asked about this, Jibreel alayhi salam said that these were the people who, they passed on information to others, but they didn't verify the information before they passed it on. So they just passed it on for the sake of doing so because they felt they needed to be the first to, you know, pass this on, whether it was true or whether it was false. Now we know that if it is true, it is a riba. If it is false, it is buhtan. Either way, it is wrong and it is sin. So my plea today is that, you know, often this happens with us. As family members, we feel the need to, you know, sometimes it's a good thing actually. We want to keep in touch and all the rest of it. But sometimes when we are in each other's faces too much, what tends to happen then is, without realizing it, we tend to become petty with one another and we tend to find fault with one another. In another ayah of Surah Al-Jurat, a few ayat before this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّنْ قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّنْ نِسَاءٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. Allah says that one group of people should not find fault with another group of people. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, why shouldn't they do this? Because عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. Because they don't know. Perhaps this one group is better than them. And when I say better than them, I by no means am meaning, you know, specifically or categorically in terms of riches, in terms of wealth, in terms of looks, in terms of status, in terms of family lineage. No, not necessarily any of this. I am meaning in their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm speaking about the connection that we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So often what we don't realize is that sometimes someone may be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than you or I, but because we feel that, you know, this person has some fault in them or some flaw in them, and again I'm saying, sometimes it's because we're just in each other's faces too much, then we start picking, you know, faults and flaws in others. And then what we want to do is we want to publicize this fault and we want to publicize this flaw and we want to let others know about it because we feel, you know, it's my place to do this. I found out that this person is lacking in this or that and I should do this. Have we forgotten our own beginning? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us in the Quran, have we forgotten where we've come from? After all, where was it that me and you started off? We started off as a nutfah, as a single drop of sperm. Something that no person, you know, would, it's something so reprehensible that you wouldn't even want it to touch your clothes, your body, anything like that. But really, this drop of najasa was the beginning of me and you. So how can we even then ever consider ourselves to be better than anyone else? We can never consider ourselves to be better than anyone else. And you know, often when the ulama mention these things in bayanat and in their wa'iz and their nasiha, we feel that because they are male, they're speaking about the females. And they say, oh, you know, women, they often speak about each other or they gossip about each other and it's a habit amongst women. Now, I'm not saying this is a habit categorically and specifically amongst women, but all I'm saying is, let's look at the second part of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here in Surah Al-Jurat, and then we can see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is saying this, the creator of man and woman. So he knows us much better than anyone else. He knows our nature better than anybody else. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّن نِسَاءٍ. Neither should one group of women feel that they are more superior to another group of women, neither should they, وَلَا يَسْخَرْ. They should not belittle, they should not speak ill, they should not revile, they should not look down upon another group of women. Why? Because عَسَىٰ أَيَّكُنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُنْ. Because you never know. This group of women, they may be better than you. So I pray and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us tawfiq this Friday afternoon, you know, on this auspicious day of Jumu'ah, that He grants us the tawfiq to become those who will not be so petty, who will become those who will look at things from a bigger point of view, from the, you know, who will look at the bigger picture and who will not necessarily go, you know, through the nitty-gritty of other people's faults and publicize it and, you know, spread it to others. Because we all have faults and we all have flaws. And really, if I were to just sit and think about all my own flaws and faults, this will be enough to make me never ever pick on the faults and flaws of anybody else ever. This will take up all my time, that I won't have time to sit and look for the faults and flaws in others. And getting back to where this discussion all started from and to culminate it in the same manner, I was saying that a sister phoned me and she said, you know, family relations have broken up because of this. And I'm just, you know, I'm putting out a plea here this afternoon, that let it not be that because we become so petty with our family members, especially sometimes, you know, it's easy for us to overlook people that are in the workplace or overlook people that perhaps we interact with on a different basis. But our family members, we sometimes just have a very short fuse with them. And it is with them that we feel we cannot tolerate their wrongs and their faults and their shortcomings. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today on this day of Jumu'ah to make it possible for you to overlook the faults and the flaws of your family members, so that it doesn't ever come to the point where family ties break down irretrievably. Because remember the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he's encouraged us that for those who keep family ties, it's a great reward for them in the Akhirah. And for those who cut family ties, then in the day of Qiyam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cut them off as well. And we don't want this to be the case. Because on the day of Qiyamah, it will be a day of nafsi, nafsi. Each person will be seeking to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his own well-being, his own goodness, his own forgiveness. So the last thing we want is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this day, where we will be very, very in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and rahmah and his gazes of forgiveness, the last thing we want is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cut us off and to look at us with a gaze of hatred, or with this in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a punishment in store for us. Allahumma ihfazna min. It's now time for us to go for the second ad break of the hour. When we return, inshallah, we will be joined with our guest, Sister Sumaya Mohammed. Listening to Friday Fusion with me, Zakira and Serbia. Our engineer, Brother Muhammad Salim, doing a fabulous job. They got our guest online for us. So our guest, Sister Sumaya Mohammed, is online. And inshallah, we're going to welcome her to the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Sister Sumaya, it's great having you on the program Friday Fusion. And we'd also like to welcome you to Radio Islam International. This is your first time being with us, right?
It's the second time, actually.
Oh, okay. Mashallah. That's lovely. Okay. So, Sister Sumaya, without any further ado, explain to us a little bit about yourself. Who is Sumaya Mohammed?
You're putting me on the spot here. I don't like talking about myself very much, but I run a business called Mother's Intuition. It's a doula service related business, and doulas basically assist moms during birth, during pregnancy and after birth. So we basically work with them in terms of how they'd like their birth to be, what they want, what they don't want, and then I am with you during your labor, your birth, and after birth.
Oh, okay. Brilliant, mashallah. All right. The reason I'm asking that, Sister Sumaya, I know, I think none of us like that, actually. You know, when you're asked, what exactly it is that you do, and if you go down the whole explanation, go through the entire explanation of what exactly it is. But the reason I ask that is because I feel that this whole program that you've put together has something to do with having this intuitive nature of another human being. So you put together a program, a wellness day, for single moms and for divorcees. What was the motivation behind this?
You know, I feel I deal a lot with women. My business is primarily women. And I also deal with women who are widows or women who are single moms. And I see how much of effort goes into playing daddy as well, you know. And I just felt like they just needed to be reminded that their efforts are not going unnoticed. And it's just a day about them to feel pampered, to feel motivated, and, you know, just enjoy this moment. Because what they do is really not easy. So basically, we've had a whole lot of awesome women that I work alongside who've come together, and we've decided, okay, this is what we're going to do, and this is a day about them to make them feel special, inshallah.
Inshallah, absolutely. Sister May, tell us a little about the people that will be there and the type of program that we're looking at. If you don't really have to run through the entire thing, but more so in a nutshell, inshallah. What exactly are we looking at?
Okay, so it's more of a holistic-based day. I'll be doing the sunnah cupping, but obviously it's not going to be on a sunnah day, but it is going to be cupping or hijama. We have somebody that's doing kinesiology, which is basically muscle imbalances on your body that they pick up and they sort it out. There's a physiotherapist that's offering their services. We have a non-music Zumba class. There is also a spinning class. It's a whole lot of exercise classes, and we have some yummy finger foods for them thereafter. So that's just a basic idea of what we'll be doing for the day.
Okay, mashallah, all right. And so that's basically what we can expect from the program. And then tell us a little bit about how exactly do women, can they still reserve a seat for themselves, or have the seats already been reserved?
Unfortunately, because our event is happening tomorrow, our spaces are all completely booked. We actually have a waiting list of people. And when I had started planning the event, I didn't expect it to grow as large as it did in such a short space of time. So what we're basically doing is, inshallah, we're taking down any names of anybody else that would be interested, because we will definitely be having another event, inshallah, sometime next year. So what they can do is they can drop me an email. Can I give you my email address?
Alright, what we'll do is, we won't give it out right now, we will give it out at the end of the program if anybody needs it. How about that?
That's perfect, that's no problem.
Alright, so so basically I do understand, right, because even when our very kind sister Shahida put this whole interview together, she said to me that, Appa, you know, there aren't any more spaces left, but...
Yes.
So she said, would you still like to do the interview? And I said, why, of course, I'd love to. And the reason behind this was, I'll tell you why, Sister Sumaya, because I feel this may be in your area, you know, in the Overport, Musgrave, town area. Like, we could have service women from all those areas.
Yes.
If another sister in another area feels that she'd like to team up with you and recreate the same day in her area, I'm sure you'd love to help her and a sister put something exactly the same together in her area.
Absolutely. I was speaking to Auntie Shaida a few days ago, and she said, you know, I've been getting so many calls from people in Johannesburg. And I said, you know, inshallah, we will eventually want to take it to Johannesburg. If there's a need for it there, and if people are interested in it being there. So it's not something that you plan on having once off. This is just our first event, inshallah. So definitely, if anybody is interested in any other area and, you know, they're willing to liaise with me, we'll definitely bring it to your area, inshallah.
Inshallah, absolutely. So that's something that you will be able to enjoy. There'll be something for the body. I know there'll be a body talk practitioner there. There'll be something for the mind. So there will be someone also, I think it's Sister Zaida Mohammed, am I right?
Zaida Mohammed, Iji.
Yes, okay. So she will also be speaking to you. Then inshallah, I'll also try to bring about a little bit of spirituality. I'll be there for a few minutes just to do a little bit of spiritual motivation. So there's something for every part of your physical being, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual well-being. You're going to be taken care of bumper to bumper, if I could put it that way. And
basically
we're really looking forward to this very exciting day. And Sister Sumaya, your last words before we leave you then, inshallah?
Inshallah, is it fine if I give out my email address now for anybody that's interested?
Yes, sure.
Okay, so it's Sumaya, Sumaiya, at Mother's Intuition, MOTHERSINTUITION.co.za. So if you just drop me a message, an email, and I'll add you to our list, inshallah.
Absolutely, inshallah. So Sumaya, before I leave you, I'm going to put you on the spot again. I know if I were in front of you right now, you probably want to strangle me, but I'm going to do this anyway. A message for those sisters out there. There are many sisters that listen to us. I'm not sure if you were listening to the beginning of the program, but I was speaking about a sister who called me. She's also a widow, and she says to me, Malima, you know what? My family doesn't really worry about me anymore and all the rest of it. Basically, she was just sad and she needed someone to speak to. So before you leave this afternoon, leave us or leave those sisters out there that are listening to the program, that are feeling this way, a little bit down, a little bit sad, a little bit alone this afternoon, a little message for them.
You know, I think the strongest supporters that we have are other women, because women will always inspire each other and take care of each other, and this is the exact same reason why I decided that I wanted to have an event of this sort, you know. But you're never alone, and Allah is always there, and there are sisters who are willing to help you, who are willing to listen to you, and are willing to be with you, so never feel alone. And Allah never ever tests you in a way that you cannot handle or you cannot manage. We all have those moments where we feel down and depressed and sad, and we question things. But at the end of the day, your musalla is always there, and you always just have to turn to Allah, because He's always there to listen, and He will always take care of you. But also remember that there are women who support women, and we are also always here.
Absolutely, absolutely. Jazakallah khair, Sister Sumaya. We must thank you for taking our time from your busy schedule to give us a few moments to explain to us what this Wellness Day is all about tomorrow. And I'm hoping that the event will be an absolute success.
Jazakallah so much. Jazakallah so much for having me. And inshallah, you make dua that inshallah it is a success and that Allah accepts all of our efforts.
Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Mm-hmm. Okay, with that, we leave Sister Sumaya there. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And we go for a short little nasheed break. When we return, inshallah, we continue. Yes, you are back with me on Friday Fusion, and this is our final segment of the program. In this segment of the program, inshallah, we're going to be doing our Surah Yusuf discussion that we normally have in our second segment. As you know, or if you've been listening, rather, we had a lovely interview there with Sister Sumaya Muhammad, who's planned a wellness day for widows and single moms. I pray that inshallah everything goes well tomorrow, because really it's a lovely initiative. And as she said there, if you'd like to get in touch with her, you may do so. She left her email address. If you want it, you could just drop me a message and inshallah I'll send it to you. Or if you have her email address already, you wrote it down, then you could get in touch with her and bring a similar initiative to your area, a wellness day for widows or single moms. They are those fighters in the community who are doing their best, you know, trying, even though they don't have a husband by their side any longer, to help them get along. So, yes, that was the interview. And then I must keep you posted. Inshallah, in coming weeks, there's so many exciting interviews coming up. Next week, we also have an interview, very interesting topic. I'm not going to give too much away. But next week, inshallah, you'll know more about that. And in the coming weeks, we'll probably be doing something from the studio where you could come in and you could join in on the program. And we're also planning a youth event to one of our old age homes. So inshallah, if you'd like to know more about this, just follow my Facebook posts and you'll see things coming up there, inshallah. Right now though, if you'd want to drop me a message for our female messiah questions, which I could take at the very, in the last few minutes of the program, the number is 061-406-2688. Or if you'd like to send me an email, then it's za@radioislamlive.com. So then, we're going to continue with Surah Yusuf. And today we're at the point of Surah Yusuf now, where Yusuf and Salam's brothers have returned to him. And remember, these brothers were told by their father when they were returning that yes, you can take Binyamin, but do something that, you know, I just have this feeling within me that if all of you enter from one door, there's going to be a great amount of nazar on you. So don't enter all together. Rather, enter a few at a time, because the people of Nisr may now wonder, so many handsome brothers all coming to the king at once, all getting the special service. Why? And, automatically they may have evil nazar on them, and like this, it could affect them badly. So we've passed that point now, and we said that this was something that Yaqub alayhi salam, it was a feeling within him. He just couldn't explain it completely to his sons, but they still carried out his wishes according to how he wanted them to, and they entered from different doors. So now comes the part where Binyamin is actually reunited with Yusuf after so many years. And let's see what then unfolds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَىٰ يُوسُفَ آوَى إِلَيْهِ أَخَاهُ قَالَ إِنِّي أَنَا أَخُوكَ فَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. So now this brother, or at least Yusuf alayhi salam, when they all brothers entered upon him, آوَى إِلَيْهِ أَخَاهُ, he brought this brother, this one brother in particular, Binyamin, that is, he brought him to his own chambers. Awa meaning he gave him a place to stay, but he gave him a place to stay within his own chambers because he needed to speak to him in privacy, right? Qala, and he said to him then, that inni ana akhuk, that I'm your brother, I'm Yusuf, remember? The little Yusuf that they said had been eaten by the wolf, well, that's me. فَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. So you don't need to grieve anymore for what they did to me, because they, even though they had, you know, told you that the wolf had eaten me or whatever, this is what happened. And now the two brothers speaking, Yusuf alayhi salam tells him the whole story, how they threw him in the well, and how he ended up in the Aziz's palace, and what happened. And you know, subhanAllah, I can actually picture this, because it's like I have family members, or sisters rather, living in Port Elizabeth. And when we go over for a holiday, perhaps in December or in June, whenever it is, there's so many stories, and you just don't know where to start. So, and that is only within a period of like 6 months or 8 months, sometimes a year maybe, and still you don't know where to start because there's so many stories. Can you imagine two brothers getting together after such a long time? Years and decades having gone past. Yusuf alayhi salam having been like 8 or 9 when he was thrown into the well, and now he was, like as the Quran says, he was a adult of about 30 years old, perhaps the Mufassirin tell us. Can you imagine the elation of these two brothers and how much of catching up they must have had to do? So there was a lot for them to speak about. And now the next day would have been time for him to leave again. Yeah, Yusuf alayhi salam became very sad about this. And he felt, you know what, he just got his brother back. Now it was so sad for him to have to make his brother leave him again and go back to his father. So he thought, and finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired him to do something. And so he followed suit with this idea. فَلَمَّا جَهَزَهُمْ بِجَهَازِهِمْ. So when he was packing their provisions, or when he was having their provisions packed for them now, right? So remember, they came for grain and all of this. So when he was having all this loaded onto the animals, جَعَلَ السِّقَايَ فِي رَحْلِ أَخِيهِ, he placed his siqaya, this goblet, this drinking vessel of his, in the luggage of his brother. ثُمَّ أَذَّنَ مُؤَذِّنْ, then an announcer made an announcement, and he said, أَيَّتُهَا الْعِيرُ, O people, O you caravan of people that have come, الْعِيرُ, إِنَّكُمْ لَسَارِقُونَ, indeed you are thieves. In other words, ever since you have came and now you are leaving, within that time period, something has gone missing from the king's palace. So stop, because it may just be that what is missing from the king's palace is with you. You may have stolen it. قالوا, the brothers rushed back and they said, وَأَقْبَلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ, they came towards this muaddin, this caller, and they said, مَاذَا تَفْقِدُونَ, what is it that you've lost? You know, why making this announcement? What is it that's lost? قالوا, these announcers who were going around the palace announcing said, نَفْقِدُوا سُوَاعَ الْمَلِكِ, we've lost the suwa', the drinking vessel, the goblet of the king. وَلِمَنْ جَاءَ بِهِ حِمْلُ بَعِيرٍ وَأَنَا بِهِ زَعِيمٍ, he said, and whoever comes with it, whoever brings it, in other words, this person will get حِمْلُ بَعِيرٍ, a donkey's load of the reward that will be a a camel's load. This will be his reward. وَأَنَا بِهِ زَعِيمٌ, and I will be bound by it. In other words, if you bring me back that goblet, I will be the one that will stand guarantor that you will definitely get this camel's load of provisions. So this was something they were absolutely shocked now. They were like, we didn't come here for all these to steal or to do anything like this. How is it possible that something had gone missing? So, being human, this is what they said. قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمْ مَا جِئْنَا لِنُفْسِدَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا كُنَّا سَارِقِينَ. They said, قَالُوا by Allah, تَاللَّهِ, by Allah, لَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمْ, you know, مَا جِئْنَا لِنُفْسِدَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, you know that we haven't come to cause corruption and to cause mischief in the land. No, we haven't come for that purpose. وَمَا كُنَّا سَارِقِينَ, and we definitely aren't thieves. Even though we may be poor, and even though we may be, we've come from a place where we've had little provision, we definitely didn't come here with the intentions of stealing. قَالُوا فَمَا جَزَاؤُهُ إِن كُنْتُمْ كَاذِبِينَ. So he said, okay, fine. These announcers now said, okay, fine. If you say this, then that's fine. But now, there has to be some retribution, right? So he said, فَمَا جَزَاؤُهُ إِن كُنْتُمْ كَاذِبِينَ. What will the recompense be if you are lying? What will the recompense be if you are lying? So they said, these are now, these people that are saying now, it's Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers that are saying this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they said, قَالُوا جَزَاؤُهُ مَوْجُدَ فِي رَحْلِي فَهُوَ جَزَاؤُهُ ذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الظَّالِمِينَ. They said, okay, very well. Well and good then. If you think that we are lying, let's do this. We will promise you that whoever, in whoever's luggage this goblet is found from amongst the brothers, right? From amongst all of us, in whoever's luggage this goblet, this drinking vessel of the king is found, فَهُوَ جَزَاءُ. So this person will be the recompense for the king. In other words, the king may keep this person as his slave and do with him as he wishes. And then he said, and then they were saying, because this is a similar kind of punishment that we carry out back from where we come from, right? كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الظَّالِمِينَ, like this. This is the same manner in which we give punishment to those who do wrong in where we come from. So back where we come from, this is what we do. So anyway, this was now, the search was on, right? They were looking for this vessel in everybody's bags. And when the vessel was found, this is where it came to a point where, unfortunately, the brothers' true colors were shown once again. But we don't have much more time to go into details of that. So we're going to leave it there for this week, and inshallah next week we'll continue from there. We're going to go for a short nasheed break. When we return, inshallah, I'm going to do one question that came through with regards to ghusl and the validity of ghusl, inshallah, after this nasheed break. Well, we're doing our female masail discussion now, and as you know, each week we have various topics on our female masail discussion. This female masail discussion, or the female masail discussion for this week in particular, is with regards to the validity of ghusl. So when we speak about ghusl, we know that there are certain things that need to be done for ghusl to be complete. For in the Hanafi school of thought, there are three fard of ghusl, that is gargling the mouth, putting water into the nostrils, and making sure that when you are taking ghusl, that water reaches every single part of the body. So one of the sisters asked a question, and she says, what happens if you come out of the bathroom after having the ghusl and you realize that a certain portion of the body, a small little portion, was not yet properly washed? What do you do? Well, the answer to that is, if you see it within, say, 5 or 10 minutes before you've come out of the or after you've come out of the bathroom, rather, then all you need to do is return and wash this part. Now, also there is a rule with regards to this, whether it be a ghusl or whether it be wudu, if it is more than a quarter of the limb, then the entire ghusl will have to be repeated. But if it's a small little part and something that's not so big, then all you need to do is you could just wash this again. But obviously if it's putting you into doubt and you feel that it's such a big area and you're not sure whether your ghusl is complete or not, then best would be to just go back into the shower and do the ghusl again. Now remember, when I say do the ghusl again, I'm not meaning have the entire, you know, the whole shampoo and soap and all of that. We must remember that when we speak ghusl, we speak about specifics. What is ghusl? Ghusl is ensuring that water reaches every part of the body once. So you're going to stand under the shower, make sure your hair is soaking wet, every last strand of it, every last root, and make sure that water reaches every part of the body, rub, rub, rub. You know, that's basically a ghusl. Even if you don't use any soap, if you don't use any shampoo, your ghusl will be complete. Right? So if you are in a situation where you feel that your ghusl may have not been completed, firstly, again, I'm repeating that if it's a small little point, a small little part, and you feel that it is less than a quarter of the limb, then simply just go into the bathroom and have that area washed, and that should be fine. But if you feel that it is more than that and it is putting you into doubt with regards whether your ghusl is complete or not, then rather go and just have a ghusl all over again. Alright, so that's unfortunately all we have time for today in this part of the program, the female messiah segment of the program. I have a lovely book which I procured yesterday. And I'm really looking forward to share discussions with you from there. It's all female desire discussions, but about various aspects, not merely with regard to Pahara. And I'm really looking forward to share that book with you week on week, one portion at a time, inshallah. But our time has elapsed, and it's time for me to love you and leave you. Until we meet next week, same time, same place, I bid you farewell and request that you remember myself and my engineer, Brother Muhammad Salim, in your special du'as. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.